the Giselle Show podcast mit friends, where we are making stuff up, being real and talking about it. Quick shout out, please, to everybody who is letting other people know about the podcast. We really appreciate you sharing it with your friends, helping them find us on the lines. We have post clips to the Facebooks and the tweets, and we really appreciate the help. And hello to Erin Kelly and Madame Macbeth and Sinister 37, Clipper Girl 07, Tyson Senor. Hello, Tyson. Tyson, you were going to think about calling in. How are you feeling about it? And also Senor Smoke. Senor Smoke tweeted in. Yeah. He was wondering where you got the hat that you wear in your acting headshot, nice fedora.
Oh.
Because he would like to have one for himself.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that it's that company that makes those.
Hats are us.
You know, but there is like a company that
fedora.
Like...
Fedora.com.
No, I'll, you know what? I will absolutely
look into it.
I will look into it. But that that hat, I tell you exactly where I got it. Is I did a Horton Foote play, and it was a period piece. And I had a nice wool 3-piece suit and that hat. And I still have those.
So you stole,
excellent.
You stole the property. I took
them with it. Oh, actually, no. That's what happened. The kind of theater that I do, you end up, it costs you money to do the theater because I bought all that stuff myself.
That
so,
is a wide-ranging type of theater. That's the most popular kind
that's
of theater.
Right.
Oh, we just got another tweet from Joseph Douglas Watson. Hello, Joseph Douglas.
Hello,
he said he's arriving late, but happy to be listening to the show. He got distracted doing art, which is the best reason. We're glad you're doing your own artwork. Also, we say hello to Marty Yu. He's listening too.
Marty Yu's listening?
Yes. Hello, Marty.
Hello, Marty.
Marty, he don't live too far away. He could show right up.
Why doesn't he just come right over here right now?
Get over here, Marty.
I would move over. He could have my mic. I'd sit behind him.
Coming up in this segment of the show, we have the Back Porch Comedy Show with comedian Kate Lure.
Oh, yay!
Whee! But right now, tell me, folks, what is the best thing that have happened to you this week, guys? Yeah, you start.
So I've actually had a lot of things pay off lately from efforts that I've put in, which has made me really happy.
Nice.
But there is one thing that I could in no way control, but that just delights me to no end, which is that a hummingbird decided to build her nest right outside one of our windows.
Oh, wow.
And it's really rare to see a hummingbird nest because they're designed to camouflage and blend in so they're protected from predators, but it's right by where my husband's desk is, so he saw her build the nest, and then we got to see her sit in it for 2 weeks, which is also rare to see a hummingbird be still. And then 2 days ago, a little furry beak poked up, and so we're getting to see her feed the chick, and then this morning I got to see him wiggle his little butt out and poop over the side like a little pew-pew, and it's honestly
how could you see hummingbird poop?
It shoots out. He wiggles, and then his butt gets over the lip, and it goes pew, and a little white just goes right out. It's amazing, and
like
it's
a pest dispenser.
Like every time I go and look at it just all day long. But it's really like even when I'm having the most stressful, craptastic day, you go and look at that, and I just think, I'm so lucky. What a gift. I mean, I couldn't have arranged this, and here it is. And so that's. So some things I did try to arrange panned out, but that's the best thing because I had no control over that at all, and it's just amazing. It's incredible.
That is great.
Hummingbird poop, the
nice.
Best part of my week.
Now, did it hit the window?
No, it doesn't have that kind of projectile power as of yet.
That's right.
When it does, it'll be time to go. But it's adorable.
What if
it's just
like
fantastic.
Pooped and like wrote your name on the
window? Oh my
window
god!
Or
now
something.
I'm going to be disappointed if it doesn't.
What we do you do? Like, what would, if that really happened, like, would you be sitting there?
That's when I would be like, this is more than a totem. This is something.
Tell me, little hummingbird butt, what should I do with my life?
Who am I?
But it has been. Like, we did have a moment when we were having our, like, what are we doing with our lives moment. And I was like, you know, and that bird doesn't ever ask itself that. It just builds its nest and raises its chick, and it just knows what to do. And it doesn't worry about it. And we were like, yeah, that's a good...
That's inspiring.
Takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah.
That's really inspiring.
Follow your instincts.
How big is the little baby? Like, as big as the tip of your pinky? Or?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the nest itself is just like the size of a... It's a little bigger than a golf ball. I mean, it's tiny,
wow,
you know.
Teeny tiny.
And it, because it's in a tree that has brown little pods on it, so it looks just like one of the pods on the tree. You wouldn't know it was
is
there.
Is it cared for by more? Is the chick
there.
Cared for by more than one bird, or just one?
It's just one bird, and I learned that they use spider webs to help secure the nest to the branch so that it doesn't blow away, because we watch it just blow around like a roller coaster, and it sticks right on there.
So like it goes and fetches spider webs?
Like going to Osh.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Home Depot or whatever.
I mean,
right?
It's the duct tape of the hummingbird world. It just wraps it around the
Wow.
It's incredible.
I wonder how it retrieves the... The spider web, because every time I even touch a spider web, it stick right onto me, and then it stick on my face and in my hair.
Which is why I think human beings didn't evolve to do that.
You
think we have the wrong?
You think hummingbirds have anti-stick properties?
Something like that.
Well, their beak.
If they just pick it up in their beak, and then they probably
that's a pretty slippery
But do
surface.
It flow out from behind them like long hair, like while they're flying and it's streaming?
Yeah, it's like a banner.
Like a little airplane.
And they're rubbing it in your face that you can't do it as it streams behind.
I know
them.
They are.
They're just saying, ha ha ha! Look what we can do.
Nature is always taunting me.
We are small, but you can't do this.
That's how the writer for The Simpsons got that ha ha. He had a bunch of hummingbirds outside, and they were just flying back and forth
relentlessly,
mocking him with their spider web
true story
banners. I read that
on a blog,
cartoon blog.
That's a pretty great thing. What happened to you, Kate?
Yeah, I think so.
I like it. What's the best thing what happened
to
you?
Well, mine is so self-serving. It's like, it's not a beautiful life event.
You found $5.
No, I would have liked to have found $5 since I'm not working, but I signed with a theatrical agent, which was
Yay!
So, that should not get as much response.
She asked you, what is that?
As a beautiful hummingbird of life. Like, she's describing American Beauty, and I'm just describing
No, but it's equally rare.
No, it was cool because actually this is a woman, well, not the specific woman is not the same woman, but I met in Las Vegas. I did a gig for a friend. He was doing a concert, and he amassed all these incredible performers to help him various ways. I was playing mandolin on some songs, and this woman came from L.A. to do some backup vocals for some songs he was doing. They had worked together in Phantom of the Opera, and I found out she was an agent. I said, I'm moving to Los Angeles, maybe I could meet with you. She's like, maybe, I don't know. I've got someone who looks like you on my roster. So I just got her information.
You know that can't be true.
Oh, I got some her information, and we kept in touch. And I kept getting pushed away and pushed away, and it came to fruition. And I really like her and the agent who I actually will be dealing with. They were really nice, personable people, and it's a small agency, and it feels good and right.
Who are they?
They're called Firestarter Entertainment.
Firestarter
small boutique agency.
Everybody that's listening, that's who you call to get Amos.
Well, yes.
We're lucky to have you now.
That's right.
Oh, give me a break.
Now I'm going to have to negotiate
actually,
with the Firestarter.
Actually, our podcast is covered under new SAG
How
media.
How many matches do you cost? Is that true?
I believe this
I didn't say I was a. I didn't say I was a member of SAG.
Everything we do have to be public domains. Because I don't know what I'm doing. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
Amos.
Hopefully
that lead to many great, what do you do, auditions?
Yeah.
And then you get some roles.
Work. Yeah, I want to work a little bit.
Yeah.
Just do some inner work.
No, I want to work on my car.
Oh, your car.
Yeah, I want to fix the headlights.
Are they going to help you with that at Firestar?
I believe so. I think it's in the contract. I put a little addendum. I didn't tell them that, but I put it in.
Addendum. So,
that's good when you can slip that stuff by them.
This is how improv is not necessarily best for an everyday life. Is yeah. when John just, you know.
Yeah. Make stuff up. No choice, John.
No choice. tell me your story again.
John, what's the best thing that happened to you this week?
Well, I had the first one that came to mind. There's that one, but then just really quickly, my cousin, who I adore, who I've known his whole life, and he's in his 20s now. He just had his second baby at 1:30 today.
Oh!
7 pounds, 4 ounces. He has a 3-year-old older brother. And,
have you seen it shoot its poop out yet?
Not yet, but you know
will.
I will.
You will.
You know I will. You have kids?
I have a stepdaughter.
Okay, yeah. I got a couple of kids. Which brings me to...
But I know
what,
about poop.
They poop all over you.
Still know about poop.
You know, there's a lot... There, for the amount of poop that there is in our life and in the world, it is really not talked about very much. Do you notice that?
Except in Improv 101.
But I'm just saying, like to me, like my bowel movements are very sort of like, I pay attention to them. They have to do with my health and like if they're runny, I'm not eating right, and am I irregular?
I apologize for, for taking
talks
cute
about
when
things.
It's a bird.
But I'm just saying, if it was like this rare thing, like a three-way in a court.
Was that
the
best thing that happened to you this week? You had a good movement? New choice.
I'm just saying. I love poop, and I don't care who knows it.
You know, I do think there are certain niche groups you can find that we'll talk about it lots and
I've heard they're on the
Eine Scheißehausen?
I mean, it's, you
I
know.
I love when you do that.
Maybe I'm on my way to smearing it all over myself during sex, I guess.
What, you know.
I
mean,
if that's what you're saying, I don't know.
You know what the best thing was that happened to me this week?
I'll come back.
Was it changing the topic? I'm hoping it happened. It could have seemed like a simple thing.
Mm.
But I was looking for a particular song to wrap up the little recorded sketch we're going to play later in the show. Or just the right music to wrap it up, that have the right feeling. And the website that I use that have all this music you can use free, the artist put it up there for you to use, is very nice. That website all of a sudden have an overhaul and its algorithm somehow is new and it don't have the same search features. You can't search based on mood or tempo or emotion like this, which is how I would search for music. You just can scroll through 1,300,000 I can't listen to all of those. So I was clicking through, just randomly listening to this not right. And I paused to take a break to email them and say, hey, when you gonna get that old functionality back? And somehow when I come back to the website to keep looking, there was a song title that catch my attention. And I click it, was the perfect song.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I love that kind of, what do you call it? Serendipity. And I would not have found it if I had not been searching this new way, mm-hmm. because I would not have searched for any of the terms of that song.
Mm.
So I just happened to find it. Then I went and had a big poo.
What? How was it firm or?
You were so close. You were out.
I know. I pulled myself back in
because you want to know why? Because John looked brokenhearted when I cut him off.
You know, I'm telling you, there are countries where there is a little shelf so that you can. Many countries where you poop and then you look at it to sort of see where you're at health wise. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Is this like on the mantle, like the fireplace shelf?
No, in the shelf of the toilet. Like you.
Oh, to look at it before it go down.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I thought in Germany they did that.
We live in a very puritanical culture.
I know,
John Paricello.
I know.
People.
So I should be ashamed.
Can't handle women breastfeeding their babies. You think they're going to handle poop?
This is what I'm talking about. Now you understand me.
I'm all about it. You know what I like to do?
Yeah.
I like to coil hemp rope. You know what that means?
No,
make
please,
a
no,
nice
no,
kale
no,
smoothie.
No,
no what?
I have trouble with these things.
With kale?
You what?
It really just, is kale and
kale,
hemp.
Yeah. No.
He's being
literal. No, I bought a Vitamix. I like kale smoothies.
Just Kale smoothies.
She doesn't want to do it. That's not disgusting as what you guys.
So here's what happened this week.
I don't know how I got.
So what happened this week was that I was my friend called me up to go for a walk because we both have Fitbits, and so that's like pedometers, right? And and so we're sort of competitive with each other. So she calls me at 8 o'clock at night. My daughter Stella was there. My son was at a tournament or something. So it's just Stella. Stella is she's 13, and she is my walking buddy. She's usually the one to say, "Come on, Dad, let's go for a walk." And so I said, "Sure, I'll grab Stella and we'll go for a walk." So we go for a walk, and my daughter is she has an incredible inner life and is very. If you know her, she's very sort of has a big personality, but in the world she's painfully shy. Just like barely speaks up. Even to me, she mm-hmm. barely speaks up. She doesn't. Anyway, the point is, and maybe this will mean something, and maybe it won't to you, but to me it was huge. So the my friend was talking about all of this extra work that she had at work and how it was like stressful for her because she had all these things and she wanted to do some of them and not do other ones and she was very stressed out. And my daughter, this is the end of the story, my daughter said, "I know how that is." She goes, "Yeah, when you have a lot of things that you're trying to think about and you feel overwhelmed and it stresses you out." And I know it just seems like nothing, but to me it was like it was this incredible moment where like she turned to this person who's an adult and she doesn't normally even do that, even talk, she wouldn't have even talked to this person, and like empathized with her and said, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about." It's almost like it's sort of like all of a sudden my 13-year-old is like not a little kid anymore. She's like a person who's mm-hmm. in the conversation and who actually is listening and isn't just waiting to go on her phone and is like empathizing with this
wow.
person. Anyway, that's the
very
best
nice.
Thing that happened to me this week.
That is a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Wow, she really becoming a woman, a great woman.
She is, yeah. She's got tits and everything.
Congratulations
wow.
to
you.
That's really great.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We're very excited right now to have with us comedian Kate Lohr.
And now,
should we have been drinking?
About poop.
Oh, if only. Oh, if there's a God.
It's just 10 minutes on excrement. Metaphorically.
Hold on, before you start.
I'm not going to just start. I'm sure you're going to lead into this.
I have an
this.
Intro. We have music, the whole thing.
Yeah.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you were expecting the living room comedy show, but not tonight because it's too hot. So tonight we're out on the back porch and we're very proud to bring you the back porch comedy show tonight starring Kate Lohr. Kate Lohr!
This is a piece I wrote when I was asked to do a show of political comedy, and I will say, if you're ever feeling anything akin to hope or inner peace, I encourage you to try your hand at writing political comedy, because it is a rabbit hole that pulls you into a vortex of anger and complexity where you're invited to suckle on the teat of despair. Jesus. Hey! Speaking of Jesus... You hear a lot of people on television, especially during an election season, claiming that we are a Christian nation. Usually, they're claiming that while explaining why they won't serve a particular group of people or why they get to tell you which bathroom to use. Anyway, I thought it would be fun to fact check that claim, so I grabbed my copy of Evangelism for Dummies out of my local hotel nightstand and turned to the chapter entitled How to Be Christlike for Fun and Profit. Let's see. We got... care for the sick, comfort those in prison, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. There's also stuff about letting in strangers, but that was way before vampires and other forms of stranger danger, so I think JC would be cool with me at least checking ID. Anyway, care for the sick, comfort those in prison, feed the hungry, and clothe the naked. How's this Christian nation doing so far? Let's check the big board. Well, let's see. It looks like we can't pass universal health care. We've created a for-profit, deeply racist prison industrial complex that still implements the death penalty. One in four families in America live with food insecurity while we waste $165 billion worth of edibles each year. And the only folks who seem concerned about clothing the naked work for the FCC. As for taking in strangers, like, say, thousands thousands of Syrian refugees. We're going to go ahead and leave that to Germany. Sorry, Giselle. They sort of owe us for that time they made a big thing out of being a Christian nation. Know what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. She apologized. It's okay.
It's okay.
So, 0 for 5. Not great. Maybe we're not a Christian nation after all. Maybe the Constitution already made that clear. But there is a God we worship in this country above all others, a God who unites Christians and Jews, Muslims and Scientologists, such that they are able to live in blissful harmony in a magical place called Beverly Hills. And that God, of course, is the almighty dollar. We worship the fuck out of money in America, and the reason I know this is because the biggest sin you can commit in this country is being poor. And the reason I know that is because we punish the fuck out of people for committing it, just like Jesus would want us to. It starts with the oft-repeated claim that if you work hard and play by the rules, you can live the American dream. The ergo of which is that if you're struggling to make ends meet, it's your own damn fault for not working hard enough. Even though, according to the Pew Research Center, upward mobility has pretty much come to a grinding halt in this country, which means your chances of getting wealthy if you weren't born wealthy are about as good as your chances of flying a dragon into Westeros and claiming the Iron Throne. There's no such thing as dragons, no such place as Westeros, and no chance in hell George R.R. Martin will finish his stupid books before he dies of cardiac arrest. Stop smothering your cheesy chicken wings in gravy, you fat fuck, and tell me who Jon Snow's mother is! Still. Not content to rest on the laurels of facts and data, we're working harder than ever to make it harder than ever to improve your economic station. You know that bathroom bill I referred to earlier, North Carolina's HB2? You know what else is in that bill? A provision that says that a city or county cannot set a minimum wage standard for private employers. Huh. If I didn't know better, and I don't, I might be tempted to think that was actually the primary intent of this law and that the transgender bullshit is just the window dressing, or cross-dressing, being used to reassign our attention. Yes, I know cross-dressing isn't the same as being transgendered. It's called wordplay, people. Try loving it. But I'm not sure they even needed to be sneaky with this law. I know plenty of people who are not exactly financially thriving who are adamantly opposed to raising the minimum wage because apparently, along with the biggest income gap in our nation's history, we have a big old Christ-like empathy gap to match, and I am trying very hard to understand why. Is it because mixed income neighborhoods are as rare in America as, say, people doing normal shit in Florida, which means whole communities never have to encounter a real-life poor person, leaving them free to just imagine what kind of lazy, filthy criminals they all must be? Fun side note about economic silos. A really good way to entrench them is via the school systems, by sending rich kids to technologically advanced college preparatory meccas, while poor kids get shuttled through school-to-prison pipelines where the most technologically advanced feature is the metal detector. Ooh, shiny. Or did our empathy get co-opted by the Koch brothers and 18 of their best billionaire buds who for 30 years have pumped millions of tax-free dollars into think tanks that churn out focus group-tested talking points to the media messaging machines they also pay for, like Rush Limbaugh, in order to brainwash people into voting against their own economic interests? Fun side note about Koch Industries. The EPA singled them out as the biggest toxic polluters of our environment, and now that their masturbatory manipulation of the justice system is climaxed into the Come on America's Tits that Citizens United, they're also the biggest toxic polluters of our democracy. Ooh, dark money. Opaque. Or is it because we were told that higher education was the key to increasing our earning power, so we accumulated $1 trillion worth of student loan debt only to discover that the median income in America is actually lower now than it was in 1970? And why should poor people get a living wage when we only make a barely living wage and they didn't sign up for 25 years of indentured servitude to Sally Mae like we did? Ding, ding, ding. We may be getting closer to a winner. Fun side note about the American dream. It turns out that old chestnut about achieving it by working hard and playing by the rules might be a bigger lie than the one about this being a Christian nation, because we're actually working harder than ever while billionaires rewrite the rules according to how they want to play. So, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Do we petition Congress to raise wages for the poor and taxes on the rich, taxes that could be used to fund the social and educational services that make it possible for people who work hard and play by the rules to live the American dream? Who am I kidding? If rich people paid their taxes, Congress would just use that money to start a war. Do we boycott Coke industry products like Angel Soft and Northern Toilet Paper so that our shit isn't propping up their shit? Sure! But the reality is the reach of their empire is such that that's kind of like trying to bring down Canada by boycotting Nickelback. I mean, definitely do it, but it's probably not going to make a huge difference. Do we find a way to hack into the Navient mainframe and reset everyone's student loan balance to zero? This is a plan I am deeply in favor of. So if you or someone you know is a hacker, please start working on this yesterday. It would be like Harry Potter defeating this nation's Voldemort. Achoo, hacktivists. Seriously. Or do we keep blaming poor people because we don't know any, defending rich people because surely we'll be one of them someday, or distracting ourselves with Facebook and TV because this kind of problem is a rabbit hole that sucks you into a vortex of anger and complexity where you're invited to suckle on the teat of despair? I'm open to suggestions, so if anyone has any, please feel free to share them. And in the meantime, I suggest trying to close the empathy gap by adding a person from a different socioeconomic bracket to your personal diversity pool. Stick them between your black friend and your gay friend. If you can't do that, at least try reading novels. They've been scientifically proven to boost empathy. Dickens wrote a few that might ring especially poignant right about now. And also maybe do stuff like caring for the sick, comforting those in prison, feeding the hungry, and clothing the naked. You don't have to be rich, powerful, or even a Christian to make that happen. In fact, I hear it's good for your karma.
Yay!
It's not so much funny as it is angry. It's mostly just angry.
It's both of those things. I have heard this piece once before because I came out and watched you do it live at the comedy clubs. And I loved it. I just loved it because it make me think, and I was giggling too. But it's so smart and it's so upsetting and enraging, but funny.
Yeah.
It's a real roller coaster.
What was the FCC? That was lovely.
Oh, the only people who care about clothing the naked work for the FCC.
Oh, that's such a great line.
Now,
that's
I will say this piece is the first in a blog I have started called Yelling with Pictures. So if you didn't catch everything as I barreled through it to try not to take up 30 minutes of your time, it is on that site. And then the pictures do add a little bit of levity to it and explain some of the references. And then there's links to what the hell I'm talking about if you're not familiar with what the hell I'm talking about.
What is the place where they go for the blogs?
If you just look up Yelling with Pictures, it should come up, but it's a WordPress blog. So I think if you just go to yellingwithpictures.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me on @thefunpie on Twitter.
The Fun Pie?
Fun Pie, F-U-N-P-I-E. That is our code word for, I don't know if I can say for something the FCC censors.
Oh, you can say it.
Cunt. China. It's a code word for cunt.
Oh, boy.
There was an incident where my husband called someone a cunt, and I said, don't use that word. And he said, what do you want me to call her, a fun pie? And I said, yes, that is 100% a better choice. And so now that is our...
Oh, my God.
It's not much of a secret word when I tell everyone.
Did he explain how he came up with that term?
But it was like a new choice moment where he was like, what are the words opposite of cunt that I can put together? Yeah. Fun and pie. So
I remember mishearing actually my ex, her dad, she said he thinks everybody is a windowsill. And I remember thinking, oh, that's such a great insult, windowsill. And she goes, no, imbecile. imbecile. And I was like, I like it, much like fun pie. I like it, windowsill better. So now it's sort of, what a windowsill, you know?
Yeah.
Sort
of like, see, no such thing as mistakes.
That's right.
They're all gifts.
That was really great.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was really great, Kate. Yeah. I love that piece.
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
I have to look at the hummingbird a lot after I write my blogs.
I don't know that I had ever seen a hummingbird before I moved to Los Angeles. I've had two in my hand now.
Yeah.
Just in the past 3 months.
It's LA's way of making it. In the bush. Right?
Is that
hey, you guys,
pie.
It's time for 100 words.
Woo!
How many words do you get when you write 100 to 120 words?
100 to 120 words.
Yay! You guys just knew intuitively.
Do you have now? Do you have to pay Marty a commission when you use, or he has to pay you a commission?
We
when
agree.
He uses it.
We share.
Oh, you share it.
Yeah, because he let
so
me.
So you give him the commission, then he gives it back to you.
Yeah,
we okay, good.
We pass it back each week. This week we had the prompt for the 100 words, which you don't have to use, but if you want to do, the prompt was donation. Shall I go first, or who would like to go first?
Go for it.
Okay, here is what I wrote. Thank you so much for your donation. The clothing you donated will be carefully sorted. The best garments will go to our shop for resale, the proceeds from which fund a jobs training program for at-risk youth. Garments not suitable for resale will go into our garment recycling program. First, we remove all the buttons, snaps, zippers, beads, etc. for use in our craft studio for at-risk craft people. Which, when you think about it, aren't we all? Huh. The remaining cloth will be cut up and used as cleaning rags in our at-risk kitchen, which is at risk of getting grimy, especially when Mark and Shana make those African banana fritters that we all love. Any scraps not usable for cleaning, like seams, cuffs, interfacing, etc., will be used as insulation in our communal home, which is always at risk of feeling chilly. In fact, I may just keep this sweater for myself.
Yay!
Okay, who's next?
I'll go. Are you ready?
I'll go.
All right, I'm actually starting it. This is not me talking about it. When I start, after I stop talking right now, I'm starting the real thing, just so that's clear. I don't know if that was clear.
That's a good introduction.
This is my fourth attempt at 100 words. My first was a story about finding a blazer outside Goodwill. Inside a pocket is a piece of stationery with Trump's name on it and his Goodwill list. Old ties, blazer, human empathy. It felt too sanctimonious. The second was trying to riff on the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Give It Away Now, but I couldn't get into my rhyming mode. The third started with the line, donation, word association. The rest of the page remains blank. Then I realized I was feeling hot, physically hot. My AC has been broken throughout this entire heat wave. So here's my thought. Please don't ask me to write 100 fucking words when my AC is broken.
Seething.
That was meta.
People are angrier when
it
they're hot.
It was meta, right?
Right.
Yes.
Meta.
John.
Now, it's funny. I forgot that it's 100 to 120. So I made sure that it was 100.
Oh, I was trying to do that too.
Were you trying to do that too?
You'll get a bonus point.
Part of the
I get a
challenge.
Bonus point for coming into 100?
Yeah, you'll get a cookie.
Oh, I was over. That was like 126.
I have to remember to put this in the instructions as a reminder. I only say 100 just so that people who are shy about writing don't get freaked out and say, oh, it's too much. I say, oh, it's just 100 words. But you can write 100, 120.
If I had heard the theme song that we sang, yeah. I would have known.
I have to tell you, though, the process of doing it, and I spent 5 minutes doing this, but is that the idea of trying to make it 100 words was actually very kind of interesting or thrilling or whatever to sort of,
yeah.
Like I liked that process of going, how can I make this more, I don't need to say that, oh, that whole sentence doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Sort of cutting it down until it got to be 100
was
my favorite part of doing it.
Yay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Applause, all right. We are donations. From where and to whom or what, I don't know. I don't even know that we are donations. But like I've always said, always sure, often wrong. I haven't always said that, but I did just say it. I'm doing this for you. It's a donation. I'm not attached to the results, but I will finish reading it. I appreciate that you are still listening, even if you aren't. Who can know these things? You know if you are. If you are, that's what you donate to this thing we are sharing. Thank you, and you're welcome.
That's good. That's like, what is the word? Poetic.
Philosophical.
Miss Kate.
I did not stick to the theme. I, in a purely self-serving move, picked a preview from my next blog, so I hope you'll donate your eyeballs to,
to yelling.
Donate your time to
embedded
yelling with pictures.
Very nice.
All right, this is it. We live in an age of outrage. We are expressive of it, exhausted by it, consumed with it. Up until we see a video of an otter eating a snack. Because honestly, who can stay angry in a world where that exists? No one. Until we get mad about the next thing. And then we must be right again! I often ask my husband, would you rather be happy or right? And he inevitably replies, somewhat unhappily if we're picking at nits, that he should be able to be both. And he feels very right in saying this. Sometimes my husband complains that I never admit when I'm wrong. I tell him I would if it ever happened. The end.
So you're the better person.
So I'm the writer person.
Okay, right.
Very good, you guys. Listeners, I always am excited to hear 100 words from you. You can email them to us, studio@thegiselleshow.com. If you want to write 100 words on any topic, feel free. And we also had a wonderful tweet from Joseph Douglas Watson, who said to you, Kate, Kate's comedy show on the back porch equals best. You tell it, Queen. Truth is in the vortex of anger and despair. Sucked me in.
Yay! Nice. What a nice tweet.
Yeah, that's a nice
Feel free to be my 7th follower on Twitter,
Oh, boy!
It's a new account, just for the blog.
Listen, we're going to take a little break.
You are at Hello Funny Lady, is that right?
No.
Well,
that's
you?
For the blog, it's The Fun Pie.
The Fun Pie. At The Fun Pie.
At The Fun Pie.
At The Fun Pie.
Good.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. Coming up in part 3, we have the Giselle Show podcast players and a story from John Pirocci. Hello, and maybe some more improv with the creativity we love there. You're listening to the Giselle Show podcast. Meet friends, we'll be right back.